welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the very best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet, and today, etc.
Etc. Indeed. So, this is the first time we've done a live show in a long time.
Yeah.
How long is it? It's been like a month or something.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, we sat down and taped some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time was with, Ellie and yes.
Yeah. The last time we had guests.
That's how long it's been.
Totally.
I can't even remember.
And we have no guests tonight. So we are, here we are.
Yeah.
We're just kind of messing around. Well, I have some crazy stories because I had a very interesting past couple of weeks. Can I share them?
Please.
All right. So, Tux Mayhem was the first thing I was thinking of.
Okay.
I was in my friend's wedding. My friend Brian Howe got married last weekend, and so we went up to see him. And we were wearing the tuxedos. It was pretty traditional dress and all that. We were, after the ceremony, after it worked and they got married, then we went down to the Pike Place Market in Seattle, and we were just running around. They went behind the counter where they like toss fish around,
right?
The little fish market there, and the bride caught a fish, and it was awesome
in her wedding dress.
Yeah,
and that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Vagina-y.
I suppose so. Yeah, and so I was up there, and we were all going down to see the gum wall. After she caught the fish, we're like, "What else is there to do at Pike Place Market?" And there's a wall where everybody sticks their gum. They have for like 30 years.
Okay.
So we went down to see that. I guess for no good reason, because that's kind of gross, but, you know, what can you do?
Right.
So we did that, and as we were going back up to the upper level, everybody was waiting in line for the stairs, and I decided, hey, I'll act like James Bond in a tux and run up this brick roadway, this alleyway,
okay,
up to 2nd Street.
Awesome.
And so I take off running in my tux shoes, and tux shoes have absolutely no grip.
Oh, gosh.
At all.
Oh, no.
And so I hit a corner.
Uh-huh.
I'm going as fast as I can run because I want to like be the first at the top and be like, I'm beating you all. Uh-huh. And I think I actually yelled that when I was running. I'm like, okay. I'm beating you. And then wham, hit the ground. I landed on my hand and I landed on my elbow. And
oh, no.
I had some significant scars, some interesting bleeding. I lost one of my cufflinks from the rental.
Uh-oh.
And some other stuff.
So did you have to pay like a deposit or a replacement fee?
I haven't found out yet.
Okay.
I assume at some point they'll say, so Mr. Dittus, we see that you're going to have to replace the jacket and one of the cufflinks.
I was going
to
say, like, did you shred the elbows of the jacket then?
Actually, the elbow didn't get shredded, but another part did. So, yeah, I don't even know what I hit. I assume I just hit a brick.
Okay.
But, yeah, there was on my palm, I just kind of had this, like, tear sort of thing.
Right.
It wasn't even, like, something slashed along it so much as, like, the pressure just ended up, like, bursting the skin or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm sure everybody's probably tired of hearing about that sort of description, so we'll move on. Anyways, that was exciting.
Wow. I want to run in a tux now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'll have the forethought to put on tennis shoes.
Make sure you have the right shoes for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, what does James Bond wear in the movies?
Does
he wear tux,
like,
shoes?
For shoes?
Yeah.
There's no way. He can't wear.
You would think.
Does like Nike make a patent leather tux shoe with a padding or with grip?
That would be nice.
A performance tux shoe,
yes,
as it were.
Yes, exactly. Something for driving an Aston Martin in. So there was that. The other thing I had on my mind was train etiquette, because after the whole wedding, the whole weekend, we came back by Amtrak, and there was a lady in the car that we were in who was listening to music on her smartphone.
Okay.
And she wasn't listening to it with headphones or anything. She was just like blasting the tinny sound out of the tiny speaker loud enough for the entire car to hear.
Well, yeah, because it's like all that treble, so it just pierces through everything.
Right, right. And have you ever had this like on transit on the bus?
Oh, on the Max.
That happens a lot.
It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't get it on the buses as much every now and then. But many times bus drivers will kind of put the hammer down.
Right. The good ones will. Some people are just tired, I think. Some drivers, some operators are so tired of dealing with it. They're just like, you know, screw it. I'm letting it happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but most people are like, if I can hear it, you need to turn it down. You need to put your headphones on.
Right.
But there's no, like, operator in with the general populace on the Max. And so.
Right. Generally, unless security is there.
Yeah. Every time I've ridden the Max. Certainly, at least part of the trip.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was happening on the Amtrak car. And Amtrak cars are way quieter than like any public transit. You know,
they kind of make a point to say like this is supposed to be a kind of like
it's a sacred space. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we were kind of I was waiting as the train departed Seattle for someone to come through, some official conductor and be like, so sorry, ma'am, you'll have to turn down your music. And we got to the first station stop, Tukwila, I think, and she had not yet turned down her music.
Okay.
And so I realized that it was kind of like almost in my hands because we live in the Pacific Northwest and this is a very passive aggressive area.
True.
Like we are bred and born to basically be mad about stuff and do nothing about it.
Never do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you just stew about it and then you go home and be like, oh, it was the worst.
We're taught to glare at people. Yeah. That's really what we're taught to do.
Maybe if I glare at them hard enough, they'll get the idea.
They'll feel it. Mm. Feel the ire going across the car. So I decided to get up and very politely I said, ma'am, do you need some headphones for that? And
that's a really good positive way to
because I was prepared
to frame that.
Yeah, I was prepared to offer my own headphones. I had two sets. I brought like over the ear and then I brought just the earbuds.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, you could borrow some if you'd like to listen to your music in private. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear this?"
Really?
Yeah. And she like didn't understand for whatever reason that the music that she was blaring out of her smartphone could be heard by everyone. And she was curious if it was the person, like if I was sitting behind her. Mm-hmm. I was actually two seats back. So I feel like my point was made
in a
polite way and in a way that, you know, it wasn't like, I don't know, because I could have been angry about it. I certainly was angry for at least a moment or two. And yeah, then I got composure.
And you could have gone up to her and been like, woman, turn that down.
Seriously, that noise has got to stop.
You got to put some headphones on. Lady, you need to get some headphones and some education.
Right. So as I walked back to my seat.
But instead, you offered your own headphones.
Yeah. She opted instead to turn off her music altogether. That worked out all right. I mean, it achieved the goal. And I think the person sitting across the aisle from us, as I was returning to my seat, said, thank you.
Thus reinforcing the passive aggressiveness.
Passive aggressive country, man, the Northwest. Yeah. I was just thinking if that happened on the East Coast. I don't want to pick on East Coasters, but I feel like, you know, in the North, the Eastern Seaboard.
They're more direct.
Yeah. That shit would not stand, so to speak.
No.
So, anyways, so that's what happened to me. We've got some sodas. You've got a soda.
I've got a soda. Yeah. So we should talk about what we're drinking, huh?
Totally. Do you have a twist top or do you need an opener? Methinks.
Hold on. Let me like shred my palm here trying to twist this. Oh, no, it twists.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's new, I think, since I've had this. Tell us what it is.
Okay, so this is Moxie, established in 1884. Original elixir, distinctively different. And you said you used to work at a place where like this was their namesake. This was their flagship. So
Right. Yeah, I worked at Moxie's on Main in Vancouver, Washington, back when it existed. Mm. And yeah, that is a fantastic soda. So you haven't had this before.
No, I'm about to take my first sip ever.
Yes.
Oh my God. That tastes like cough medicine.
Doesn't it? That's the thing.
Did Robitussin fund this or something?
I think it's kind of like that. I mean, it was designed, it says on the label, originally elixir, and I think it was kind of designed as like a tonic of some kind to cure what ails you. So it doesn't taste good in the traditional sense, but I did enjoy it.
It's interesting. Yeah. It smells, now that I've made the connection, like it smells kind of like Pepsi and Vicks VapoRub.
So if you were to drink a can of Vicks, it's what it would taste like.
This is what Vicks would taste like when you mix it in with your soda.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations. I think that's an experience everyone should have. And it's, I don't know if that was the very first.
I can't say I don't like it, though. That's the thing.
Well, it's kind of like beer is an acquired taste. I think Moxie soda is kind of an acquired taste in some ways.
Yeah, it's got a real sharp finish, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to. It's been several years. Could I grab a swig?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I was looking at the ingredients list here, and there's a thing I've never heard of. Gentian root.
Gentian root?
And not gentian root extract, but gentian root extractives.
Extractives. As though it came from a gentian root.
Right. I don't know. The verbiage like makes me, like, I get the one eyebrow like, what?
Yeah, that's kind of chemically or something, but not like industrial chemicals, just kind of like that. That's a strange flavor.
Right. Like this came out of a pharmacy.
It reminds me a little bit of Dr. Pepper, but tamed.
A little bit.
You know, like Dr. Pepper has a really strong sort of bold flavor. If you kind of muted that down a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But like this has a really sharp finish to it, though.
It does.
Like it sticks with you after a sip.
Well, I am drinking the Bridgeport Ebenezer Ale. It's got Ebenezer Scrooge with his bags full of money on the label, and it is a holiday ale. And I think we've had this before. We were trying to figure out if I had actually drunk this beer on the show before, and I think I have.
Was it about this same time?
It would have been Christmas time.
I was going to say, is it a seasonal?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is kind of like I always get excited when Deschutes drops the Jubal Ale because you know, it's kind of like eggnog. You only get it once a year. So
sure.
Yeah. Yes, that is good. Well, would you like to read some mail?
I would love to read
some mail. Yeah, we got a fair amount of it this time around, so I figured we might as well get cracking and put that up. Yeah, look how many there are. There's tons.
You've got mail.
So I should go first, huh?
Yeah, if you want.
David Hetty mentions a couple touring the Great Divide on a tandem.
Yeah, and this is pretty cool. This is from Salza Cycles, and I think they basically just said, you know, here's a little travelogue. It's amazing because the Great Divide, of course, is the unpaved route along the Continental Divide from north to south, or south to north, if you prefer.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty badass sort of mountain bike tandem that they've
got
going on.
Yeah. Was this like custom made for them by Salza, or
I don't know. I would assume so. I didn't actually get in too far into the reading of it. I just kind of gave it a cursory once over.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool.
Okay. So yeah, Salza provided them with a prototype tandem frame, and then they put parts on it.
So we could someday get one like this ourselves.
This yeah. Wow.
I mean you and I or whoever else.
And this makes sense that our friend David Hetty would send this to us because he is very much a Salza rider.
He loves the Salza brand, yeah.
Yeah, he had two Salza frames at one point.
I think he
sold one of them.
Yeah, he's got some pretty bikes.
Yeah.
That man keeps, he's got attention to detail.
Loves to clean.
Yeah. Also,
I mean this, Mr. Hetty, I know you're listening. I mean this in the best way possible,
yeah. The other thing is that he actually did really well in cyclocross this year.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to put that in.
Oh, let's just say he's amazing.
Number one.
Yeah, that guy is fantastic. So congratulations, David, and may you continue to shred in mud again and again and again.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next year I'll have some mud fun with you.
I think we should. Yeah, I would like to get kind of a bike that I don't have to care too much about. And
that's the thing that kept me from this year. He was actually really pushing me to get into it. And the fact that I would have to get basically a whole other bike.
You would. Yeah, I suppose. Unless you really wanted to do a bunch of repairs on your everyday rider.
Right. I would have to like switch out the wheels every time I competed.
And your bike.
Off, like all the racks and the.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Your bike and my bike both are not really suited to off-road riding either. So.
Not in that sense anyways. No, I would go off-road with mine, but like not in a like race by any means.
Matter of fact, we have. I was going to say,
my mind goes right back to Gravel Mountain.
Yeah, on the way to Crater Lake.
Yes.
Yeah, that was intense. Well, hey, what else have we here?
Well, we've got Eric Krimmel, who wrote us about his new ebook, The Cross-Country Adventures of the Blue Highways Cycling Elite. A true story of three friends who embark on a 4,200-mile bicycle trip across the U.S. from and Acortes, Washington to Bar Harbor, Maine. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble.
And yeah, that's because it's an ebook.
Cool. Yeah, I will put that on my Kindle.
Totally. It's, I believe, $7 for the full book. He gave me a little sneak preview, which I think you can get
just like on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, a sneak preview. And it was pretty cool. He actually had some interesting things in the very beginning, in the introduction, about traveling without a phone. Because this trip, apparently, they took a couple years ago, kind of before the rise of smartphones and like before everything was, before you were expected to be in constant contact,
right.
I suppose. And he said, like, now that that is the case in society, that we're kind of expected to be in touch, he would all the more prefer to go without a phone on a long bike trip. So anyways, yeah. It's pretty cool. If you like reading stories about people's bike trips, it's it's there. So thanks, Eric, for getting in touch.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. Dan in Minnesota says, Nick Mason of the League of American Bicyclists in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, would be a good person to interview. He has quite a bit of knowledge about bicycle stuff in Minnesota. Road trip!
Totally. Or Skype. Skype is like a virtual road trip.
That's true.
No, we'll have to get in touch. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that tip, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah,
I've got a little picture of his tiny house here.
Oh,
can you see that?
Also, Dan, same Dan. Just moved into.
You didn't read that yet.
I didn't get that. I thought it was a different item.
I was so excited about it.
Yeah, so moved into his own tiny house.
Yeah,
that he built himself.
Totally.
There was a dude up on Woodstock and like 79th. Like in somebody's backyard building his own tiny house.
Right here in town.
Speaking of, our friend David Hetty knew him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Introduced me and he gave me a tour of this tiny house. And
nice.
I was surprised at like how much stuff he fit in there for something that is less than the space of this basement.
Right.
Or this room in the basement.
Did he have lots of like really compact things?
Yeah.
Were there lots of nesting?
Yeah,
like
very
much. One thing inside of another?
And like, so he had like even an office space, but his... basically like a pilot's cockpit in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, everything's like right there, you know, within reach, within like inches.
That's pretty cool.
But if you feel drawn to live that way, go for it.
Yeah.
I'd say, 'cause there certainly isn't getting any more room.
Yeah.
Around here.
On that note, Logan Smith from, Tammy and Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how we'll just refer to them. Of Tiny House Adventures and guests on the show many times. Logan started blogging just recently. And if you give me a minute, I'll probably find the address for that, because I feel like we should share that with the people.
Well, I will do the next mail item then while
Please look
for that. And that is Kevin from LA says, heard you mention Tall Bike Bobby on your podcast and that you'd like to do an interview with him. I'd love to hear that. I believe he's affiliated with the LA Bicycle Coalition, which I'm a member of. So if you need help getting in touch with him, I'm pretty sure I can track him down. Keep up the great work. Now I think I'll get back to your website and buy you a beer or two. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Much appreciated, Kevin. Yeah. Thank you very much. And yeah, Kevin actually wrote in like a year ago and made a similarly sized huge donation. So,
awesome.
Very much appreciated.
Dang, I'm going to have to go further out of my way to find interesting sodas for you, Kevin.
Right.
Yeah, I always find it very humbling whenever a listener decides like he likes what we do enough, or she likes what we do enough to like give us money.
Right. Because few and far between are the times when I've actually donated to a podcast.
Right. Well, I think of like... NPR's drive time or drive season, you know, their funding drives.
Oh, right. When they hold your favorite programming hostage until you actually pay for it.
Right. I'm like, I'm changing it. I'm going to commercial radio for this time.
Well, see, the difference between us and NPR is that when we get to the point where we can no longer afford to put on the show, it'll just like end. Someone will log in someday and be like, where's my new Sprocket podcast? And, you know,
your Sprocket podcasts are made possible by donations from listeners like you. So if you liked the quality of podcasts.
Right. From the Kevin in LA Foundation. So I found the blog. It's loganblairsmith.com. It's B-L-A-I-R. Loganblairsmith.com is where he is blogging as the title of it is Smalltopia. And great stuff about downsizing and... there was a great article about, I think, putting all your stuff in a backpack, like having an emergency backpack that you can just like grab and go, which is pretty cool.
Like for
emergencies. For emergencies, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if there was some situation where like you had no time to gather things,
okay,
you just grab a backpack that has like, you know, your birth certificate and some cash and whatever else.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Huh.
Yeah. So, right. Anyways. Yeah, also I'm still working my way through You Can Buy Happiness and It's Cheap by Tammy Strobel.
That's Tammy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The book actually was hijacked from me a couple times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
I've been thinking of hijacking that.
Right. Well, give me just a few more weeks and then I'll be set.
No worries.
I'm not a slow reader, but I don't sit down to read books as often as I think I should. So it was sitting out on our coffee table and somebody else like picked it up and said, I'd like to read this. And then it was gone for like a month.
Yeah.
So I just got it back and I'm kind of working my way through it now. Oh. But,
see, and your housemate Candace makes fun of me for this, but this is partially why I leave a book on the toilet.
Because nobody takes a book out of the bathroom?
Well, so far they have it. But I know there's at least one place where, you know, I'm doing some sitting.
Right.
And, yeah, probably no one's going to take it, or it's just there. There's a book always there, and I'll eventually get through that book.
Right. Because everybody poops.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah.
Well done. Do we have any more mail?
We have a lot more mail. Sorry, listeners. We're getting through this slowly. Thanks to Stacy from A Simple Six for recommending our show on Twitter. Oh, cool. Thank you very much, Stacy.
Yeah, and Stacy was, we had an interview with her last June.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. She's.
You had it. You and Brandon.
Right. Actually, yeah. Just me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, we talked on Skype for a bit.
So the listeners know what A Simple Six is.
Well, they might. Okay. It was back in June. Yeah. Stacy Bisker from asimple6.com. She's got a family of four kids and her husband, and they have gone down to one car from two and are commuting pretty much everywhere in town by bike.
Okay, I remember this. I didn't listen to this episode, but I thumbed through that. They have a blog about this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And they are they're almost the only ones, I think, in town that are actually doing commuting for utility purposes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Pioneers.
Yeah. Doxson gets in touch. Gents, love the podcast. Show idea for January, February, or beyond. How about interviewing Breck Boughton? Or Boughton?
Sounds good to me.
Blogger and adventurer from Cycling Into the Dark. He's just started or restarted his journey to the Arctic, having left from Vancouver. Keep up the good work. Oh, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, totally. Here's a picture. It's loading slowly, but of his rig here and the kind of terrain he's cycling
through.
That's
a lot
through.
Of crap on one bicycle.
Yeah, he's got the Surly Big Dummy, I believe.
Okay.
It's the long tail edition, and he's got a ton of stuff for cold weather camping.
And he still has the drop bars on there.
He does. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, most of the bikes I've seen that do like snow biking,
mm-hmm.
they always switch out to the flat bars.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never done a whole lot of snow biking. I'm kind of curious actually.
Yeah. I've never done it either.
I want to get one of those Surly Pugsleys and ride that through snow. Cause that would be fun.
Oh, speaking of Surly, I don't know if you've seen their, what is it called? The Moonlander.
That is even better than the Pugsley, actually. Yeah. Is it like a 4-inch tire?
It's huge. Yeah. I think it is 4 inches. It's huge. Speaking of Vancouver, my brother's in-laws live over there. Of course, maybe these are two different Vancouvers we're talking about.
Right.
But anyhow, Corey is the guy's name. He's a big downhill mountain biker.
Okay.
And I don't think he competes. He just likes to do it. But he wants to get himself a Moonlander and just go all in, all terrain with it.
Totally.
He's showing me like his dream rig about the whole thing. He's, you're into bikes, right?
You like
check
bikes.
Check this out.
Totally. Yeah. No, the Moonlander is it's a fantastic rig. I would feel very lucky to be able to actually, yeah, to ride that around someday.
I don't know. I would feel, I guess so. Well, you have a tall bike, so, you know, you don't mind
bike.
Like people kind of like looking and pointing at you.
I'm used to people looking at me and pointing.
I'm a little too self-conscious for it.
It happens every day, man. Yeah. I mean, like when I'm going to drive the school bus going back for the PM shift or whatever, like mm-hmm. I'm riding past the school to the place where it's parked.
A ride you do every day.
Every day. Yeah. Yeah. Just yesterday, a mom was like down the street, like blocks away, and she yells at her kid, "Look at that bike." I don't know, Blimer. It's weird. You don't see that every day. If I was a kid that age, I would totally want to see a bike that tall.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So anyways, there we go. Well, that's all of our mail for now, I think. So anyways, thanks, everybody. There was another thing that I was interested in covering, our Indiegogo campaign.
Yes.
Lest it be left to the dust. That happened.
We have not forgotten all of you who've donated.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a good number of people who gave a lot of money to us to help us keep this thing going this year. Really appreciate it. That's fantastic. We raised over $500, which helped us get all the hosting fees taken care of to be able to afford beer for the guests and to help us get some headphones. So, well, I'll just go down the list here real quick, just so we know. Because a lot of the people that donated money had perks coming to them, as in something's going to be done for them. And I realized, like, I've been talking about a little bit on the Twitter and a little bit online, but and also like emailing these people individually, but it should be said probably on tape here, because this is like what people listen to and how we connect with people most often. We should probably talk about it here.
So. Well, and it's nice to hear your name.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, we want
and
to.
It's thank good for our listeners to know, like, oh yeah, these are real people. Actually, these are real listeners donating this.
Definitely. And
this wasn't just my mom and my grandma.
Exactly. And especially also just to remind people that even though like it's been a while since the end of the thing, a lot of these things that are promised are things that can't be whipped up quickly. So they're in progress. For example, Steve from Wyoming, I promised him I would ride in Lycra because that's not something I do often. I'm not really a racer. I don't really care for tight fitting clothing. And yet,
I could loan you some of mine.
You, sir, are a man with style and a monochromatic wardrobe.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I'm just thinking about the size difference.
Here. Right, right. Your baggy clothing would fit me tightly.
Yes,
to a T. So, anyways, I'm going to ride in Lycra, and I suppose at this point I might wait until the weather clears up a bit. But I talked with Hetty about actually going out and getting him to like throw a few components on my bike, getting some SPDs perhaps if I can round up the shoes.
Okay.
But the one thing I will get is the shorts. I'll slip those on, suction those over my buttocks and sit on a skinny little seat and race. So that'll happen. And we'll have a video episode of that. Tim from DC, he ordered a bicycle ride with the hosts and, he might get, if he's lucky, he might get a ride with you and me and Brandon around Portland whenever he comes.
So I was going to say, so is he planning on coming to visit soon? Or?
Eventually. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of like a voucher. He just gets to cash that in whenever he wants.
Okay. Like, hey, I'm coming into town.
Exactly.
The week of blah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim. Michael Anderson, episode sponsorship. He ordered 4 episodes, and as soon as his project is done, we'll be promoting it like hell. So that'll be awesome. Blaine Prowse, episode sponsorship. Lillian Karabek, episode sponsorship. Darren Sin, a song about him. And I've been working on that one. Part of the reason that it's taken me so long to get this one done is that I haven't written songs for a while. And so I'm still kind of working on getting the song right, the poetry muscles in my brain moving. The other part is he asked for, I think he's expecting a hilarious song, if I remember one of his comments.
Oh, okay.
So, so I'm hoping that I can kind of work something up. The song itself probably isn't all that funny, but maybe I'll make it like, Maybe I'll make something humorous happen in the song.
Sure.
I was kind of angling for that. But it sounds kind of like the music doesn't sound like, it's not like waka waka wow. So
I think you'd rather appreciate that anyway.
So there's that. Also, let's see. Logan Smith, man on the street interviews and transit plan.
I am interested in this.
Yeah, so we got to figure out like we got a stage. Do you want to do this with me?
All right. Yeah, sure.
Or we could divide and conquer.
I mean, I'm generally, pretty self-conscious about these things, but I'm very interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he was just going to, basically, he wanted to get some answers to some questions about simpler living and see what people are saying. So, yeah, we'll find a place to stand.
That actually would be good to hear, I don't know, hang out at Pioneer Square or something.
The east end of the Hawthorne Bridge.
Or outside of People's...
People's Co-op. Like
People's Co-op with a clipboard.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, exactly. Would you like to save this baby seal? Don't you care about baby seals? Also, I'm your friend.
Yeah. Hey, bud. Nice jacket.
That's my least favorite approach for anyone who's like shucking for something, you
right,
know?
Right.
When they're like, hey, here's a conversational question.
Hey, love your hair, man.
Do you want to give some money to something? And I'm not even against giving money to things. I do that a lot.
Sure.
All the time. But yeah, it's just kind of like deceptive. It's the bait and switch.
Well, yeah.
I have a hard time with that.
Come on. You're not my friend.
Right.
You don't really like my haircut or my jacket or my tie or whatever.
Yeah. But he did notice that you had one.
That's true. He was. Okay. So he's got 20/20 vision.
Right. So anyways, we'll do that. And then I don't know if I did transit planning for Logan or not. Basically, I helped him like locate on the internet the timetables for the buses in his area.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that was fun. Of course, again, if Logan needs any help with transit planning, we'd be happy to further consult. Allison, this is our friend, your friend and mine.
Yeah, my housemate.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Because you moved.
Yes.
So yeah, she wants to sit in on the taping of an episode.
We'll find
out which one that is.
Well, I've actually been suggesting that she get on the Women and Bicycles episode whenever we get around to actually doing it.
That would be fascinating. I like that.
For those of you listening, the interview we were going to have with Martina and LA Blue, it ended up falling through.
Mm-hmm. Schedules are tough this time of year.
Yeah, it's
everybody's celebrating a different holiday and whatnot. So, yeah,
yeah. And it's something that Allison is quite also attentive to. So, yeah, I think she would be great to sit in on this one.
Okay, yeah, we'll earmark her for that one. Then we'll flag her when that comes up. Purple and Orange, those crazy kids from.
I love them.
Yeah, Santa Monica, is that where they're from? I can't remember.
SoCal, anyways.
SoCal, yeah.
As the first time I meet him. Do you see any a-holes from Southern California?
We're the assholes from Southern California. they ordered a song about themselves. And Russ and Laura from the Pathless Pedal also ordered a song about them.
Oh, cool.
So, like I said, the songs will be coming out slowly. They'll be polished to perfection first. And then Jeremy from New York, Transit Ride with the Hosts.
Oh, cool.
So,
whenever they come in or whenever he comes into town.
Yeah. I've been meaning to write him because I was actually thinking about going to Providence, Rhode Island by commuter rail this next time that I go to Boston.
Okay.
Because there's like a commuter rail that goes there. It would be, I think, $8 to get from Boston to Providence.
Oh, okay. And then he could, he could do like a ride out there.
Yeah. I don't know if he wants to go to Providence or not, but I've always been curious and I looked on Yelp and there's a couple of cool dive bars. So, so I'm ready to go. Well, hey, that's all of our stuff anyway. So thank you again, everyone who donated to the cause, and we will be working on fulfillment of your perks as we can and as things come along systematically. So
and again, quite humbling, like just grateful,
not seriously, just
to be able to do this, but that people also really, I don't know, believe in this. Like, is that the best or the right?
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's almost we are the curators of our own religion about bicycling.
Yeah,
and riding the bus and composting toilets and that sort of thing. I am honored to have as many people listening as are, and it's really cool. So, thank you, you who are listening. Thank you very much for sticking with us, even if you haven't donated money. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out. And basically, we hope that I don't know. Because it's not just that we like to talk about bikes. We like talking about bikes. But we believe that like a world better than the one that we currently live in can be made.
Yeah.
And we can do
possible.
That. Yeah.
And it's actually more possible. I want to believe anyway. So sometimes it's elusive, but it's more possible than we make it out to be, I think.
Totally. Well, and the other thing is like people are so entrenched in certain habits and certain methods of life. Like a lot of the friends that I bumped into, like at the wedding I went to and just kind of seeing people that I haven't seen for a long time, people are like blown away by like, you know, you don't have a car, you haven't had a car for a long time. And like, I could never do that. And the thing is you could, you know, and maybe you can.
Anyone can.
Yeah. I mean, things change and things are tricky, but you know, trading one rhythm of life for another, especially if it matches up with your value set.
Sure.
And what you think ought to be done. It's not a bad idea.
And even if it's just circumstantial, like some people, they go carless because they have to.
Right. Well, I mean, that's how it was for me.
Sure. Sure.
It's the only reason I started bicycling every day is because like my car broke down and I couldn't fix it. I couldn't afford to fix it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And we're humans. We are meant to adapt.
Right.
You know, we can adapt to these things. And sometimes it turns out, for example, going carless, it turns out it's actually better in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. And also, not just because it's economical, because we're trying to figure out, like, with holiday travel and that sort of thing, would it have been cheaper to rent a car or something like that? And then I realized, like, well, maybe it would be cheaper to rent a car, but at the same time, I would like to believe that my investment in, like, public transit systems and, you know, private carriers like Amtrak, or I guess, but they're subsidized or something. Anyways.
Yeah. But... yeah,
I'm willing to pay a little bit extra for that because I know that like it's the experience that I want. It doesn't tie me to car ownership or car rental, even though we love car to go.
Sure. Well, that bus or train or even an airplane is still going to make that trip, regardless of whether or not you buy a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and so you could kind of look at it as like, well, if I drive myself from here to Boston.
Totally.
That train is still going from here to Boston.
Yeah.
Or those trains are still going from here to Boston. And I'm basically not only just burning my own fuel, but burning their fuel or not taking advantage of their fuel that's already being burned.
Totally.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I think about, just in like a carbon footprint sense. And I mean, that's the sort of thing that it's kind of old hat almost to use all the terminology now.
Sure.
Also, I feel a bit self-righteous when I do, but this is the way that I feel life should be. And I really like being able to commit to that and just jump into it and enjoy the experience, you know? And like, it's not just like we're doing it because we have to, we're doing it because this is a nice way to live.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm a fan. Well, there we go.
We got all dogmatic on everybody now.
Look at us getting serious. It's crazy. Would you like to
hurry up? Somebody say a fart joke or something.
Someone curse. Shall we go some news?
Let's do some news.
Fantastic.
Or before some news.
I can barely keep it
together.
I
want to introduce a segment here.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I want to introduce a new segment that hopefully will become a regular segment.
That's right.
And listeners, I'm calling on your help as well. This is a segment I'm going to introduce called My Bike Won't Fit Here.
There's a little sounder for you.
All right. That is the best impromptu sounder ever.
It's the only one we've ever done.
Little dueling banjos, no montage. I love it. Okay, so My Bike Won't Fit Here. It is calling out places. I originally got kind of dogmatic about like calling out businesses, and sometimes it's not just the business's fault, but calling out places anyways that have bike racks or bike staples that you know for a fact that staple was just thrown there.
Right. There was no foresight and no consultation
like, no
of
bike,
anyone who would actually
no bike
use it.
Can actually fit here.
Yeah, yeah.
So my bike is a pretty small frame.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a 52.
Yeah.
So it can fit in a lot of places that maybe larger bikes cannot.
It's diminutive.
Yeah. However, there are still places where my bike won't fit. And listeners, I would love to hear your stories, like small write-ins of, and pictures too. If you can send in pictures to us.
There we go.
That would be great.
Via
email would probably be the best way to do that, wouldn't it?
Or Twitter, # my bike won't fit here.
There you go. Thank you, Brock.
There we go.
Okay, so I've got two places, both the same corporation.
Ooh.
Fred Meyer.
Really?
Yes. Both the Fred Meyers that we are equidistant from, the Foster and 82nd and the Johnson Creek and 82nd Fred Meyers.
Interesting.
Your bike stables, not meant for bicycles.
Yeah, yeah.
They are both too close to, well, the one on Foster is too close to a wall.
Uh-huh.
They do have one that's sort of out in the open on their...
on the north side?
On the north side of their building.
Bottle and cam return?
Yep.
Yeah. Those are okay.
That's okay. And I sometimes lock there if I'm coming from the north. However, I'm normally coming from the south.
There we go.
And so I lock to their south racks, which they have more of.
Yeah.
But again, they're up. They're too close to the wall.
But you have to throw it like at an angle.
Yep. And so therefore, like, there's less bikes that are going to be able to fit there. The bike that's closest to the doors is actually going to sort of impede the walkway mm-hmm. into the door.
Yeah.
On the other side of the door, so as you're looking at the door, it'd be on the left. That one is so close to the wall that you can't fit more than two bikes there. And the security guard at that one came up to me, and I thought he was like going to yell at me because I was kind of cursing and swearing.
Oh, yeah.
At one point as I was trying to lock my bike up
there.
You're
kind of vocally upset about the situation.
Yeah. And he actually like was sympathizing with me.
Right.
And he's like, I can't really move that. I have no power. I'm just rented anyways.
Right, right.
But he did say like, yeah, a lot of people have trouble with that. And it's obvious that they just threw it there. Like nobody actually planned them.
Yeah.
And then, so Fred Meyer on 82nd and Johnson Creek down in Clackamas. I'm calling you out too. Yours is close, but you have this curb that goes into this planter.
Oh yeah, I've done this too.
Right up against your bike rack, and so I have to like hoist my tire up slightly to lock it,
like into the bushes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and so or at such an angle that like the lock is actually supporting the weight of my bike.
Totally. Yeah. I've done that a couple times.
So, yeah, again, just not a whole lot of foresight.
Seriously.
And I've got a few more, I don't have pictures of, but a few more places I will be talking about in later episodes.
All right, yeah.
And again, listeners, I would love to hear your stories about this, too.
We're going to try and get pictures of these locations on the website this episode.
Yes.
Again, at Sprocket Podcast, hashtag my bike won't fit here, or thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Fantastic. All right. All right. So we've got some time here, a little bit of time, about 20 minutes or so, to roll through as many of these headlines that I've been collecting over the past couple of weeks as possible. So here's my plan.
All right.
You read me the headline.
Uh-huh.
I give a brief summary of what's happening in the article.
Bang.
We give our thoughts.
Okay.
In like about a minute, more or less.
Sure.
We'll see.
We'll do this in quick succession.
If I say a minute, that means it'll be like five. Perfect. Here, let me give us some of this stuff.
All right.
This is local band Hurt Bird. Thank you so much, Hurt Bird, for lending us your song. With the thrill of a brand new bike. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast as we can into the night light. Pedal just as fast as the leg, the letter.
Sweet. So the first one, Bike Portland News Roundup. Oh, great. And it's got a word I can't pronounce.
Oh, right. This is a locality. It's a tough word.
Piscataqui. Piscataqui?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Is it like French? Because it's in Maine.
It sounds half French, half Native American.
I was going to say Piscataquis.
Piscataquis.
But I have no
Piscataqui.
Idea.
Piscataqui.
Yeah.
Village project plans to create a careless micropolis.
That's Carless.
Carless. That is Carless. I thought it was like an artful name of some kind, like a careless micropolis. It'll be chaotic and artful. Oh gosh.
Yeah. No. This is a really exciting idea, and this something has been happening, kind of like this for many years. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Bicycle City USA project. People have been trying to find a place where they could build a city that would be entirely designed around like walking and biking, as opposed to using cars for transportation. This is a project kind of like that. On their website here, it says, this proposal is to create a compact village of 125 acres on a site totaling 500 acres in southern Piscataquis County, Maine. Someone's going to please correct me, tell me how it's said. Development of the village would be guided by a set of building covenants specifically composed to create a space as it is built out in the traditional city pattern of Europe and early North America, in which foot or bicycle was the primary method of transportation. Motor vehicles would be parked at the perimeter of the development in a green belt at least 375 acres, which other than the parking area would be a permanently protected zone for agriculture and outdoor recreation. So basically, we're saying we're going to create something that looks beautiful, like an old European city, and has all of the perks, basically, that like you don't have to like worry about getting hit by a car when you walk out in the street. You might be hit by a bike or like a hand cart or something.
Which would hurt.
Right.
But not be fatal necessarily.
Right. Yeah. So basically it's talking about changing the nature of city and how people live. So
nice.
What do you think about this?
I love it. I love the idea.
Would you move to Maine?
Would I move to Maine just for this idea?
That's the question.
Oh, gosh.
Because the thing about this is...
Maine is so far north.
Yeah.
I already feel like I'm too far north.
Yeah. The county that this is located in has one of, I believe they said, one of the higher median ages of populations like in the country.
Oh, gosh.
Basically, the entire population is growing older and nobody new is moving in.
Okay.
Everybody,
so
like all the kids are leaving.
This is sort of like a Hail Mary pass of like, we need more people.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea being that basically this is a place that's very poised for change. Like in a couple of years, you know, God bless the residents that are there currently. But, you know, everyone grows old and fades away at some point. And, you know, when that happens, when it's like ripe for change, what do you do? And I love the idea of creating like this could be a fantastic model for other places around the country that would love to start something like this for people who like want to be involved in a different sort of lifestyle.
If I recall, didn't Bicycle City USA like finally announce a location?
I believe they did. It was somewhere in like North Carolina or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Which again, nowhere near Portland. I can't move there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I would someday. I'd love to visit. But all that stuff is kind of on the way. So there's that.
All right. Next, Bike Portland. Again, a farmer. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries.
A farmer in the Portland region swaps his truck for a cargo bike.
Were you apologizing for talking over the bike bell?
Yeah.
You don't have
to. Are you sure?
Bike bells are meant to be just kind of it's a thing.
Okay.
It's okay. You're fine. Thank you.
Right.
You're so sensitive, Aaron.
Terribly.
So there's this guy. Josh Volk runs the Slow Hand Farm, a small community-supported agriculture farm on Sovie Island. The soil is great out there, and it's a nice place to grow veggies, but there's just one problem. It's about 15 miles from the nearest neighborhoods where his drop sites are. So from the big island, which is beautiful, corn maze, actually, the last time I was there, went to see one of those haunted corn mazes. Those things freak me out.
Yeah, yeah.
So
regular corn mazes, like unhaunted corn mazes, are scary enough for me.
Yeah, yeah. This guy, basically, he's got an e-assist bike that he's decided to just kind of, I was going to say, bite the bullet. It's it's not...
But it's not a painful change.
Wait, is it a bullet? It might actually be a bullet cargo bike brand.
Oh, so now it's a pun.
Yeah, yeah. I meant it that way, and then I thought it wouldn't work, and now I think it might. basically, he's decided to move food... vegetables from his farm to Portland using a cargo bike. And this is pretty revolutionary. Like there's not a lot of people doing this, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. So what do you think?
I love the idea. I actually read that one. And hasn't he been doing this for years or is that a different article?
Oh, let's see here. He's been doing all his CSA deliveries by bike since June.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So not years.
Thanks to Splendid Cycles. I think it's pretty new.
Yeah. But that's awesome. Yeah. Again, any way to just kind of simplify and not burn as much fuel as you need or burn less fuel than you need to. Yeah.
Totally. And I mean, we have no idea what his farm is like. Like if he's using a lot of machinery to grow the stuff, but basically, if you're going to cut some of the emissions from whatever you're using, you know, like if you're
if you can
burning
cut
fuel.
It, cut
yeah.
It. Yeah.
And riding a bike is a great way to do that. So, yeah.
Definitely. BBC News via Brandon. Would this be our friend Brandon?
This is our godlike former co-host, Brandon Rhodes.
Right on. The Uruguayan president is living meager, but happy.
Yeah. Let's see here. Basically, this is a guy. Do you want to pronounce his name? Do you have the article up? It's okay if you don't.
Don't have the article
up. Okay, it's, I believe, President Mujica. It's with a J, but President Mujica donates about 90% of his monthly salary.
I would pronounce it that way.
Yeah, equivalent to about $12,000 to charity. It's labeled him to be the poorest president in the world.
Ah.
But he loves the life that he has. He's got a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle that's it's designed in the same way, I guess. You know, like South American Volkswagens often look like the 60s counterparts.
Yes.
Because they've just been making them in the same design ever since. But yeah, he's got a place to hang out. He's got some pets, some chickens, and he loves living this way. Like basically, let's see, what is it? In 2010, his annual personal wealth declaration, mandatory for officials in Uruguay, was $1,800 or £1,100, the value of his 1987 Volkswagen Beetle.
I love this quote. What were we thinking? Do we want the model of development and consumption of rich countries? I ask you now, what would happen to this planet if Indians would have the same proportion of cars per household than Germans? How much oxygen would we have left? Does this planet have enough resources so 7 or 8 billion can have the same level of consumption in ways that today is seen in rich societies? Is it the level of hyper-consumption that is harming our planet? Wow. Yeah,
totally. Like, he's serious about this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Here is, man, that's really inspiring. Like, somebody who could be in a position, I mean, I don't know what kind of president he is either.
Sure.
But
well, apparently he's pro-marijuana legalization and pro-abortion. So those are two things that make him controversial in Uruguay.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of a president he is. But
okay.
But as far as a guy who loves the simple life, that's exactly, yeah. He just loves kind of not having too much to worry about.
Right.
And he's the friggin' president. So.
And well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like in a position where he could kind of abuse his power and be like, no, I'm having a limo. I'm going to have a motorcade, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, he drives a Beetle and he lives a very meager existence.
Totally.
Man, contrast that to like other presidents. Man, and just the... Like, how much money does it take for, like, our president to move around?
Right. And well,
obviously, it's kind of apples to oranges here.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some necessity.
Do we ever talk about the president, President Obama, the current U.S. president, going for a bike ride?
I don't think we talk about President Obama on this
We
show.
Don't, not a whole lot. So there's a president of the United States. His name is Barack Obama.
Okay.
And he, as a matter of fact... sometimes goes out for bicycle rides with his family.
That's right.
This was covered in the news, I think, maybe, was it when he got reelected? Or it must have been his first election. Yeah, because that was like 4 years ago. So he went out for a bike ride with his family, but due to the nature of being the president and how sometimes people want to shoot you or stab you or whatever else,
yeah.
He had to be preceded by an SUV full of Secret Service workers and then followed after riding his bike,
yeah.
Followed by another SUV. Full of Secret Circus service workers or Secret Circus workers. Yeah.
You sure it wasn't an old style VW full of clowns?
You're under arrest. So basically,
that's the president I would vote for right there.
The Secret Circus. We could get that on.
I would switch all my bodyguards to clowns.
But that's the problem with being like, I don't know how much that is austerity. Some of it just happens to be like, you know, I guess arguably one of the most powerful nations in the world.
Sure.
One of the most powerful people in the world needs a lot of protection to keep him from like being shot or stabbed. So there's a lot of that.
Like I said, I'm sure it's apples to orange. However, it's still like I still feel a little bit of tension when I think about how much infrastructure just to move one person around.
Right.
This particular person anyways.
Don't you wish you had your own plane?
At times. Usually when I'm on another plane, I'm generally wishing I had my own plane.
Right, right. All right. Well, anyways, that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. The Oregonian speeding car crashes into Sunset Transit Center. Oh, you guy. Yes.
From above.
From above.
This is crazy shit, man. This is absolutely... Have you seen? This is a picture.
Yeah, I've
right
seen
here.
The carnage. It's,
yeah.
I cannot believe this.
So
I cannot believe like a person had done this. Like,
yeah.
If you look at the picture without any context, you'd be like, you know, was there an accident? Was... First of all, you would kind of question, like, what wreaked this carnage if you didn't see the car right away. You'd think, like, was there an explosion?
Yeah, seriously. So it was a guy named Mr. Robertson, Jeff Robertson, who had a black BMW. And as the Oregonian puts it here, he sailed onto Sunset Transit Center's MAX tracks. So what was it, like 80 miles per hour they were going on 26, yeah, where the speed limit is like 50, I think, something like that, which is pretty fast anyways, considering you're going up a huge hill.
Yeah, and a turn.
Right, or maybe down.
Well, I believe this article, anyways, mentions he took the clover leaf.
Oh, yeah.
At that speed.
Clover leaves.
Which are usually marked at like 35, 25 miles an hour.
It's like a big donut, basically. Yeah. You're like kind of whipping your car around in a circle. This guy, over the circle, over the edge, through the air, and down onto the MAX tracks. Because Sunset Transit Center, that's it's like a little canyon, kind of man-made, yeah, canyon where the rails go through. And everybody waits kind of below the surface of the ground there. And so this car, can you imagine if you were there? Just like standing on the side of the MAX, waiting for the MAX to show up.
Just
like,
watching this happen.
Yeah, I need to get to El Monica, and I'm waiting for the blue line. And all of a sudden, kaboom, out through the, you know, through the air, a car comes sailing down.
I think I'd have a hard time like really processing what I'm seeing.
Like what's happening?
Right, right, right.
And is
like,
this real?
Like my brain would like replace car with like, I don't know.
A fiery
like,
dragon.
Like a bunch of, yeah, or something that like my brain can process better than a car flying through the air.
There's several rabbits.
Right.
Yeah.
A flock of birds.
Merino sheep.
There you go.
So yeah, it's intense, man. Anyways, the guy will be paying is what they say. Let's see. This driver can expect to get a bill from TriMet, said TriMet's publicity person, Roberta Alstead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's crazy. It took 6 hours to lift the BMW from the tracks by a crane.
Regardless of my own, like, aggravation at this whole thing, I just hope the guy knows how lucky he is to walk away from this crash.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, the fact that the guy is alive and mostly unharmed.
Yeah.
Good thing, because he's going to have to work a lot to pay back all that money.
That's true.
So, yeah. Anyways, that was nuts.
Rivendell Bicycle Works.
Oh, this is exciting.
MUSA Splats Cover Ordinary Shoes for Wet Weather.
Have you ever wanted something to cover your shoes?
Oh, yeah, I was looking at those.
When it's wet and raining, and you just have regular shoes on.
I always wear regular shoes.
Yeah, yeah. There is a picture. Basically, it's, what is it, waxed cotton, I believe?
Yes.
So it's not like a special material. It's a natural fiber, which is cool.
So, I mean, that's basically like canvas, you know?
Yeah. I'm a little bit dubious. I'm not sure how much I trust cotton just because, like, you know, I've always been kind of taught to believe that cotton is bad and wet. Sure. But I suppose, like, they wouldn't be selling these if it didn't work. So,
well,
there
the
is.
The waxing. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Like, helps.
And I do believe in wax. I'm a big fan of wax.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd try them out. Although, like, I have the toe straps. I still ride with those, so I don't know how that would work out.
I wonder if you could put them over your toe straps.
Oh, maybe. Like, you know, somehow like toe fix cages, it to right? that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. The Atlantic City's media host.
Not too much to say about that, right?
It's
these
an
things
item.
Exist.
These things exist, yeah. The Atlantic City's media hosts an ecology dust-up between cars and transit.
This was interesting because Freakonomics Radio came out with a short segment about whether or not it is more ecologically friendly to ride the bus or to drive your own car.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear this?
No, but
I
heard about this, and I'm always, first of all, I'm always skeptical of the Freakonomics people. Like, it's statistic manipulation.
Okay.
You know?
I like the Freakonomics people, so sure. I'll just say, like,
they
full
make
disclosure.
They make convincing arguments.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all out of manipulating statistics, and unfortunately, okay, so they're smarter than me. So I can't form an argument around them, like, right at the time, or even as somebody's like, well, the Freakonomics people said, you know, and spout off, like, all of these stats. But something in my gut is like, no, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I think that's just my rant.
This connects to what you were talking about earlier. Like, if a trip is already being done, why not take advantage of the trip?
Sure.
As opposed to burning your own fuel.
Okay.
And that's like the basically looking at the whole world as a closed system. Like, if you were saying, you know, I only care about like my own emissions, then, and I do care about my own emissions, the problem with
depends
that,
who I'm with, really.
Sure. Some people you feel okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, if you're thinking about the entire world, these buses are running anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone's saying that we should shut them down. So basically, like you say, statistic manipulation.
Sure.
So, well, we're pretty close to the end here. We've got a long list here, and I think maybe I'll just post this whole list, even if we don't talk about them all.
Yeah.
Do any of those that remain, do you want to cover any of those in particular?
Yes. The guy who did not, who was not allowed to recycle his metal.
Oh, yeah. And this was, we had this guy on episode 99, Chris Sanderson. He's the contractor by bike, builder by bike. And essentially, he was denied when he showed up with his awesome bike rig. He had taken, was it a basketball pole? Like a basketball hoop pole or something like that. He had taken it out and was trying to recycle the metal to get some money for it. And he was told that he couldn't recycle at the facility because
he was not on a motor vehicle.
Right. And apparently by Oregon law, they said that you had to have have a license plate that you can record.
Post the actual verbiage on the article.
And actually, it turns out that it was just this particular recycler decided to make a policy against bikes. The Oregon law doesn't actually preclude showing up to recycle something on a bike. They say you should take down the license plate number of the vehicle if it exists.
If it exists. So that means conceivably I could walk up.
Right.
Something.
Dragging a large metal pole behind you and saying, I would like to sell this to you.
I would like to recycle this large metal pole I found.
Yeah. The comment thread on this one was fascinating because a lot of people are like, they're a business. They can do whatever they want. And other people are like, they shouldn't discriminate. You can't tell who's a meth user and all that stuff. So, because that was the big worry.
He's on a bike. He must be from the Springwater Trail.
He's stealing and, metal to sell.
Right.
So,
for his meth habit.
Anyways, that was fascinating.
Well, then you should have done it anyways because he would have stabbed you.
Precisely.
I want to mention one more because it's a former guest.
Yes.
Happy Simply, former show guest Darcy Lunn.
Lunn, yes.
Lunn has a new Simple Living project.
And I'm really excited about this. I want to see kind of what he does with it. And honestly, I have not yet logged in to check it out as of this taping. But he's got basically another simple lifestyle sort of thing. Components being a simple 10 square meter dwelling, renewable energy off the grid, rainwater capture and storage, an edible garden, biocompostable toilet, walking, cycling, and public transport, and volunteering in the local community, all of which are good things. So, he's kind of he's wrapping all of this stuff into one package called Happy Simply, a lifestyle model and education project. So,
and the URL for that is?
I believe it is, let's see here.
Oh, it's longer than I thought.
You know what?
It's not just happysimply.com.
I think it might be happysimply.wordpress.com.
Okay.
Let me check that out while we're here.
We'll link it.
Of course we'll link it. So, well, should we read the list maybe of what else? Yes,
sure.
It's happysimply.wordpress.com.
Awesome.
All the stuff that we haven't gotten to yet.
So, Bike Portland, Tom Labonte heads to Texas to teach cargo bike building. Lovely Bicycle. When do we need a cargo bike? Is the name of that article. Cycle Wild's article, petition asks for decent treatment of self-propelled NPS guests.
National Park Service.
Oh yeah, I read that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally behind that one. No Tech via Logan. Now you can unknit your wool with a bicycle. Chris Sanderson, we mentioned. And Fast Company Design. Designer proposes an aerial tram over Austin. I'm assuming Texas.
Austin, Texas, yeah. Which could be kind of exciting.
That was the runner-up for where I was going to live next.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you landed here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Cheers to that, sir.
Holla.
All right. Well, hey, we are pretty much over an hour, so shall we close out the show?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Let's do this. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call it and leave us a message at 503-847-9774.
Or text us.
That texts now too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Connect to us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Herbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com.
All right. Fantastic episode. If you made it this far with just the two of us, you guys are awesome.
Thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you all next week.
Have a good one.
With a guest. Sure, I tidy this up. We don't want that. I don't think. There we go. All right.